In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer is a wonderful thing. It's one of the most wonderful things that God has given to man. And it's totally an uplifting thing. It's such a wonderful thing when people who you've been praying for call you and say, "Oh, Father, my father, whom you've been praying for," like this happened just this week. The father had cancer, and they thought that the daughter calls all in tears and totally destitute. And people were praying and so on. And she calls me later in the week and says, "Father, you're not going to believe this, but he went in for his test and they told him that they didn't need to do anything because they couldn't find any cancer." When those things happen, and they don't happen that infrequently when we as a praying people are praying for everyone, it's something that's just so totally fulfilling. But here's the real beautiful thing about prayer. You will never know, ever, if it was your prayers that actually healed someone or gave comfort or transformed someone. This is the way that God has set it up. We never know when our prayers, our personal prayers, are the ones that healed someone. You could be standing in front of a human being and say, they say, "Pray for me, Father," and you pray for them, and whatever they had wrong with them was totally transformed and they were made new. And you would still never know if it was your prayers that healed him or the prayers of a saint that was saying, "Father, heal this person with cancer who's in the other end of the world," that God heard and healed that person. And that's the most beautiful thing. Because then we can never take credit for God's work, but we just participate in it. We see God moving and we're filled with wonder and awe and love, but not with any kind of egotism which says, "Oh, I had a part in that." And the beautiful thing about this knowledge is when you find it out and when you know this, that it's God that does the work and that God that gives the healing and that who knows whose prayer it was that healed someone, but we know that prayer works, is you'll never be incited to say to someone after they told you they were healed, they came to you and told you they were healed, and you say, "Oh yes, and I've been praying for you." No need to say that. No need to show someone that you were praying for anyone. No need to have any kind of recognition whatsoever. It's just the fact that we're praying that's such a beautiful thing. It's beautiful to pray. It's wonderful to see the effects of prayer, which you can see if we open our eyes, we can see some tremendous things that happen from just praying for others, but we can never take credit for them. Now, if it ever happened to you that God appeared to you like he did to Solomon, and as Solomon, he didn't appear to Solomon, but Solomon had this presence of God about him in which he heard he was being asked, if you could ask for anything, what would you ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. But if I might give you a piece of advice, do not ask for wisdom if God comes before you and says to you, "What would you have? What is it that you would have?" Of course, God was very pleased with the fact that Solomon asked for wisdom, because Solomon could have asked for great riches and all sorts of things because he was going to be the king, and he could have had all of that, and that's, you know, what many people would have asked for, well-being, riches, and all of that. But Solomon didn't ask for that. He asked for wisdom. And God praised him for that, and he gave him all the riches as well. But we should not ask for that. We should not ask for wisdom. Wisdom is a straight gift from God. There's no way that you can work on it or achieve anything through wisdom. It's just something that God gives. It's a perception, an insight, something that comes down upon us and we're transformed and we see something new. And maybe words come through us that are, we would never have thought that ourselves. It's a beautiful motion that God has when he kindles in the heart of a human being something that's very wise to give to another person, but it strictly comes from God. What I would recommend that you ask, if God comes before you, and you have the sense not to ask for riches, is humility. Because humility is twofold. God can give you humility. He can humble your heart, either through actions that happen in life. Often we're humbled by some of the things that happen to us in which we were prancing around and thinking very well of ourselves, and we stumble and fall and see what a foolish person we were, and we're humbled. And we feel that God brought that about through the actions of life. Or he touches our heart. We feel the robe of St. John. You feel some great presence. You come to take communion and you take the body and blood of Christ into yourself. And suddenly you feel very humbled, awed by God. But humility is twofold. It takes the presence of God and it takes the actions of yourself as well. It's something you have to do as well as God. And God would, if you ask God for humility, what he would do was he would bring you a humble and lowly heart, but he would also prompt you to work for humility, to not take the first seat, to not take the first notice, to not always talk in terms of I, and so on and so on. He'd teach you about that, and you'd learn. Because there are things we learn about how to be humble. It's not like Uriah Heep in Charles Dickens, which was always faking humility and talking about what a humble person he was when he was really a scoundrel. We learn about humility as our heart is lowered by God, and we begin to take the expression of it on. Somebody says, wasn't that wonderful what you did? And you say, thanks be to God, instead of saying, yes, it was. You know, or anything in which you take for yourself. You learn how to do that. You learn how to deflect. You learn how to take a praise and move it to the side. You learn how to continuously give glory to God so that you don't want, after a while, as humility begins to take foot in a human being, we don't want the attention anymore. We're not looking for it because we know it ruins us. We know what happens when we are praised, because oftentimes that's all we ever seek. We seek notice, we seek praise, we seek to be patted on the back, we seek thanks for the things we did. There's nothing wrong with thanking for someone for what they did, but it's how we take that. And we think well of ourselves instead of well of the grace that God has given us. We haven't got the spirit of humility. It is the most important gift that we can have. It's greater than wisdom. Because if you know what happened to Solomon, Solomon was the wisest person in the whole world at that time. God gave him so much wisdom. But Solomon fell. Solomon didn't have the sense to take one wife. He took 900 wives. And they all were talking to him at once, giving him all sorts of things and telling him what to do. And he listened to all of them. And after a while, he began to move away from God, and worship began to take on idols. Can you imagine the wisest men in the world doing that? You say, how can that... I say this all the time. I think about Solomon a lot because my grandson is named after him. I think about him and I go, how could this happen to him? How could someone who was that wise fall that far from God? And the answer, I would have to say, I don't want to speak for Solomon, but I would have to say it's because we have to have humility if we ever hope for wisdom. If we ever hope for wisdom. Now let's apply it to the passage of the gospel today. Have you ever thought about why in the Bible you read so much in the New Testament and other places about people that are demon-possessed? The Lord it seems like he's always healing someone that has a demon. But today we don't really see people that are demon-possessed in that kind of way. It's because when the Lord was here, after he rose from the dead, he was given all power in heaven and on earth. He said that himself. And that power caused him to bind Satan. You know, in the Revelations it says Satan was bound for 1,000 years. Satan was bound. It didn't mean he was powerless. It meant that he was bound. And by bind means he couldn't take human beings the way that he took them so freely before that. Freely, he meant, you know, with this Gadarene, he had hundreds of demons in him. They just swept into him and took him over. And he had this great power about him, but he had no mind. He lost his soul. The Lord put back the soul into him and so forth. But now we don't have it like that. We are, in our day and age, what we have to face is mental illness in the same way that the Lord in his day faced mental illness through the demon possession. Now we see people that are demon influenced. Where the demons reside now is at the level of the mind. They prompt us to do things. Read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, or anything like that, where they're always talking about how they plot. They look very carefully at a human being to see their weaknesses. Everyone has them. We all, especially if we're not humble. In fact, that's the only way to combat a demon. The only way you can actually combat a demon is through true humility. A person who is humble, the demons can't even get close to. But most of us have a little pride in us. Maybe some of us a lot of pride. The demons see that, and they begin to work with us in that. How do you think, in this day and age, we have never seen some of the crazy, awful things that people do in the world today? Walking into a movie theater and slaughtering thousands of people. Where did that come from? You think that came from the mind of a young boy, that young boy? Or just this week in the paper, if you read the news, some police officer wanted to take women and do away with them, I'll say it like that, and then eat them. That was his plan, to eat 100 women. I read that and I went, my God, that's awful. I bring this up to you not to have these kind of terrible images in your mind, but to see the influence that the demonic has. People get confused. They get depressed. They get lonely. They get egotistical. They get full of themselves. They get empty of themselves, but completely despondent. Or they're crazy. They have these mental kind of ways of doing things that are just off. And that's when the demonic, through the mind, begins to suggest things to people that they should do in this world. And that's how we see today so many awful things. People are bored quickly. People lose their interest in something almost immediately. We have attention span of about 5 seconds. I hope you're still here with me, as a matter of fact, because I've been talking longer than that. Our attention span is just stripped away. And so we can't remember the things that went before us. The demonic plays on that. It plays on our lack of interest in things, and we look for things that are spiritual, and we don't do anything about it to achieve them through humility and through prayer. But we still want the experiences of the other world. And we're very enticed by the supernatural. And so we open ourselves to this whole level of demonic influence that's just waiting to prey on us. Not the way it was in the time of the Lord, thank God. But still, through suggestion, the demonic comes into our lives and begins to suggest to us and bind us in a certain way, the way the Gadarene did. How do we deal with this? And actually, it's a good question to how do we today deal with these vast mental illnesses that people have. It's not just through drugs that we deal with them. You know, depression is the hardest thing to pray a person out of. It's such a hard thing, but it's not the hardest thing to love someone out of. You can love somebody out of depression, but to pray them out of depression and to try to get them to move away from that is very difficult. I know I have people that I've prayed for years and years and years, done all sorts of commemorations, and they're still depressed. It just hasn't worked. These illnesses in the world today are just awful. I have we have a food program at our church where we serve the poor. And often the poor are very humble. In fact, I will say this to you, it's a great blessing to me. Because when I go out of my church, I see humility all around me. Many of the men and women who are on the street and are homeless, they don't have anything. And they don't have any airs and pretenses about themselves. They're just humble and kind of very sweet. It sweetens the soul. And some make bitter, of course, but some are humble. And I go out and I'm surrounded by this humility. But I'm also surrounded by craziness. I have this one man called Clarence, who's just absolutely crazy. He came into our churchyard and has gone to the bathroom in the middle of it, done crazy things, yells and screams at the top of his lungs. And we're in a neighborhood. We're not in the middle of the city. We're in a neighborhood, and I'm always, you know, when this guy comes around, I always get so fearful, because just the way he acts, there's no one that will want a person like that around them. Well, in the whole time I've been in the food program that we have, which is 20-some-odd years, I've never called the police on anyone. I've had a knife pulled on me and all sorts of things like that happen, but never I've called the police on anyone. But this man was so loud and so awful that twice I called the police on him, not feeling very good about it and all of that. But I just wanted to get rid of the guy. You know, it just was just too much. And there's no way to calm him down or to get him out of this mentality that he's in. Well, here's the problem for me. He's crazy, but he still has feelings. So when I say, you've got to get out of here, you've got to go, and there's the police come, and they're taking him away, and he turns around and looks at me. He looks at me with hurt, the same as anyone else. He's crazy, but he still has feelings of hurt. And I still am affected the same way as if I hurt you. If I hurt you, and I see that depressed, that sad look on your face, I get sad because I've hurt you. As Christians, we all feel that way. We're sensitive. We feel things towards others when they're in pain and suffering. We feel their pain and their sorrow. And here's this man. Well, I felt so bad about it that I had him arrested. I mean, he was back on the street the next day. It's not like they keep him for any length of time. But I felt so bad, and he was in one of his usual crazy moods. And I saw him, and I went up to him, and I said, Clarence, I want to apologize to you for calling the police. I'm really sorry about that. And he says, Father Jacob, I want to apologize to you too for being so outlandish. In that moment, he became sane. In that moment, he was sane. He apologized to me. And I could see that the way that we can deal with the mentality of all of these difficulties that we have in life around people is to have loving parishes of people that love and care for each other like yours and like ours in Atlanta, in which people come into the middle of it with difficulties and they're enveloped by love, not judgment, not by the things of this world that would, you know, not by the desire to get rid of them so we can have a nice parish, but rather by people actually caring for others and seeing them. Even if there's nothing you can do for that person, just to care for them and envelop them in love and give them a friendly word can transform a person who has this mental condition that is off, or a depressed person, or a person on drugs, or a person who's an alcoholic who needs much more than we can give them in terms of help. But where to start? Where do you start with someone? You start by the open-heartedness that you have and the love that you give to them, like the Lord did with this Gadarene. He opened his heart to him. He got rid of the demons. And by the way, you can see how awful the demonic is. As soon as they went into the pigs, they killed them all. They sent them into the... And you say, well, why didn't he kill the Gadarene man like he did those pigs? He couldn't, because the Lord didn't even allow Satan that. He had allowed before that Satan to do what he would with human beings, but he didn't allow him to kill him. And today, he only allows Satan to work with us at the level of our minds. It challenges us, because we seek to be humble, and yet we're putting on pretenses, and Satan plays on that. He begins to build us up, tell us, send thoughts to us, hear these messages and all of that. And all we can do, if you're a spiritual person, an ascetic who's trying in this world to overcome that, is look at these thoughts as airplanes flying overhead. As Elder Porphyry says, he says, Satan is like airplanes flying overhead. You can hear him, but you don't pay him any mind. He said, if you hear them and you begin to have a conversation, you become like an airport, because the thoughts land in you and then they have power. But when we're humble, Satan has no power on us. And the humility that we have will heal the world. It's what will heal a human being when he comes in seeking, because he's crazy from the things in the world or the suggestions of Satan. And we envelop him with humility and love. We bring him in. We care for him. We transform him by the love that we have, by the non-judgment that he's seen all over in the world. We don't reject him, but we love him. We try to help him, and even if we don't, he's helped. He's transformed. This is the importance that we have of a community of loving people together who are humble, who help each other to be humble. We don't praise each other. We don't try to build each other up. On the same hand, we thank everybody for everything. Any good work that's done, thank a person for. Not so that we can be built up, but though we can each know that we're appreciative. We thank, we praise, we're humble, we pray to God for everything that we have, and Satan has no power over us. We wear the sign of the cross, we take communion, and Satan is gone. He's planes flying overhead to us who does not land in our midst. And in that midst, we bring human beings that are broken, and they are transformed by the love of Christ that we have in their midst. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.